actually can kind of provide these people. Okay, just make yourselves comfortable. Oops. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. But with a straight back and in a way maybe some happiness, relaxedness about having spent half a day like this together, discussing our human condition that we see. That's very important, to open up our heart, that we see that we're not the only ones, and that's okay that we're upset sometimes because life is quite difficult. There's so many situations that if we would have a choice, that we would not choose to have them. And to really open up our heart and to wish us well, us and all others, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. This is why I'm practicing, that I can fulfill that longing, that wish for lasting happiness, to be the person that I really want to be, not to control others, but to be open, spacious, calm and peaceful. And if I can assist somebody to become in the same way, that would be great. If not, no point getting upset. May I be well, happy and peaceful. May all beings be well, happy and peaceful. And when we reflect on the negative emotions, it's very important that we don't identify with them. These negative emotions are not you, but you have them. And the more we become aware of them, but without fear, the more we can face them with wisdom and compassion, because we see they make us suffer, the more they will lose their power over us. And actually the best antidote, and the first one always, is just awareness. You know, negative attitude in the mind, or disturbing thoughts in the mind. And then you look at them. You don't run away from them. Like a very simple question that you will ask yourself is, there's anger in the mind, how does it feel? And you try to find out, and you experience it directly. But what we do here in this reflection, we just in a more calm way than we did before, we try to see how they operate. So first we look at desire and attachment. So desire is always an unhappy mind. Not being happy with what you have, wanting something more or something else. This attitude disturbs the peace of mind. So actually, we think that by having desire we will be more happy because we get what we want. But it's quite the opposite. A very good antidote for desire and attachment is to think about impermanence. But of course, the outside object, the person, the situation, that will change, but what definitely changes is my attitude towards it. So now you can really go back in your memories to things that you're very attached to. You were very attached to. You can start with the toys when you were a child. They will probably make you smile. These objects are nowhere anymore. But there was a point in your life if you would have lost them, it would have been disaster. At that moment, when we were children, these objects, the relationship we had with them was, if I don't have my toy, or my doll, or my teddy bear, or sometimes it's even just a piece of cloth, if I don't have them, I will not be happy. This is what we believed at that time. But if you look now, that belief was wrong. So this is all we have to show the mind. That we can live without these objects. Although there are moments when it seems totally impossible. Or we can see that we have quite a lot of objects also in our life, that maybe we paid a lot of money for them, we were very happy to have them. Then all of a sudden we didn't use them anymore, and later on we gave them away, or we even threw them away. To make space for more objects, but new objects. We can see that this is a process without end. The objects change according to our interests, to our age. But the desiring mind who wants new things stays the same. You can just ask yourself questions like, why do I buy things that I don't really need? Why do I eat things when I'm not hungry? Why am I constantly on the search for something? It's okay to stay with the question. You don't have to come up with an answer. What is important here is to question that whole process, because it seems to be the right thing to do. Always something new. Clothes, shoes, phones, cameras, computers. Sometimes even people. New friends, new interests, new books, new views. And since we want to have peace of mind, we can ask ourselves, will there be an end to that? We are looking for contentment, isn't it? Because we know that the content mind is a spacious, happy, peaceful mind. And very often, if we don't analyze, we just think, oh, just one more, or a pair of shoes, or computer, or book, and then I will be content. We're constantly on the hunt for pleasant feelings through these objects. And it's true, sometimes the contact with these objects give us pleasant feelings. But if they would be the cause, the contact of the object would be the cause for pleasant feelings, they would always produce pleasant feelings, not just sometimes. We're trying to find satisfaction in the sense world, sensory objects. Maybe thinking that at one point we will have consumed enough beautiful sights, melodious sounds, delicious tastes, smooth and pleasant touches. But if we look, I mean, how much of these have we already experienced? And are we one step closer to contentment? Contentment in the sense of we're not on the search for something new, or something more, or repeating. Why desire leads to unhappiness and suffering is because the object that we project or that our mind projects does not exist. Because we add qualities to that not there. And we erase the negative signs. So we're always left wanting because what we wanted has not existed. Will not exist and does not exist. We never get what we want because we want something that gives us contentment and lasting happiness. Try not to follow the conversation. I don't understand. For me, it's easy. Just let it be. Might have a wish and desire for there be no conversation. So you just need to be a bit more concentrated. That's fine. We can go over to anger or aversion. Say when attachment doesn't get what it wants, it gets angry. It can be a very small frustration to quite strong anger and hatred that can even result in murder. And we can see it now, somebody's talking. Should not be like that. So we can look at that mind who's frustrated, disturbed, agitated. How does it feel? It's good to see the unhappiness of a frustrated, disturbed mind, but it doesn't make the person stop talking anyway. It's quite good that we have the situation to check it. How does it make me feel? We get angry because we have no power over the situation. We might be hoping maybe for somebody to go down and tell the person to be quiet, but we're not going to do it. And you might actually notice that if you use it as an exercise, as a tool to work with the mind, all of a sudden the anger goes. So, not to get angry at this voice, we might just think, let it be. She has a right to talk. She might be living here, working here. We don't know. Maybe she's a guest. We don't ask the guests to be in silence. So we just allow her to talk. Because she's not harming anybody. And then we see what happens. It's none of my business what this lady is doing. She wants to talk, fine. She wants to stop, okay. Very often we get angry and frustrated at situations that actually, you know, if you think, how does it change my life if this lady talks or not? What influence does it have on the rest of my life? It's zero. But we allow ourselves to get worked up, to get angry. And now please don't get angry at yourself for doing that. It's just our natural, habitual reaction. And something happens that we don't like. The main point is here to see that we are destroying our own happiness and peace of mind. It's not the lady's intention to do that. We do it ourselves. So we just watch that process. Whether we want or not, anger will arise, but then we can buy into it and think, oh, this is really terrible. I try to meditate on this woman's daughter. And we can make a whole story out of it and spend the time feeling upset and angry. Or we can use it as an exercise and think, great. Now I can learn to let it be if I cannot change the situation. Remember last time we said, if you want to change a situation that you cannot change, you have to change your attitude. Quiet, but she shouldn't be because now you can't train anymore. But maybe now also put your awareness on the spaciousness of your mind, if it is spacious, peaceful. Now it's not talking. We also have to notice absence of anger, absence of desire. You might be tired. But we can be very content about having spent the day like this. Being tired is not a negative thing, it's okay. We work hard, we're tired. But if there is some space in your mind, then just be aware of that. And what feels more natural, what feels more normal and comfortable? The tightness when you want this woman to stop talking? Or the spaciousness when nothing is, when there's no conflict in the mind? There's also nothing there at the moment, that it would mean. But we don't have to wait for nothing to be there in order not to have conflict in the mind if we let it be. Again, if you can change the situation, which is really bad, if somebody gets hurt, by all means do it. But most of the time, we have no power to change anything and we just get angry. And that doesn't help us, nor the others. Maybe if you have some peace and peace of mind, spacious mind, let's try to see what we project, what is actually just depending on thought. And if you don't think about it, it's not there, it's this I. Remember the state of mind before, if there was some spaciousness, and now just think, I am meditating. And try to see if something more comes in now, some real I that is doing the meditation. And you think, I am meditating. Is it the same state of mind than when we're just looking at the spaciousness of the mind? Or is it different? So all of us are sitting, so we can also say, I am sitting. But is your eye sitting or is your body sitting? It's the body sitting, isn't it? So are you the body? Do you have a gut feeling of, I am my body? This I is the body. Definitely not, you would say. So what, is the body sitting or is the eye sitting? Are two things sitting there or what? Then you probably aware of the mind, who is either spacious or tight or frustrated or happy or tired or whatever. Different states of mind changing all the time. I am thinking. I am feeling. Are you these feelings? Are you these thoughts? Are you the spaciousness? Are you the peace? Are you the frustration? If you're none of them, what are you? What is this I? Meditation can make you very confused, which is a good thing, because then it loosens the very strong view that there's a real I existing from its own side, not depending on the body and the mind. But I don't want to let you go home so confused. So there is an I or a me There's some action, like the sitting. If there's a mind that is aware of the sitting. And then on top of that, we put the label or the name, I or me, because it is this body, which is my body, this mind, which is my mind, doing it. It's the same continuum of body and mind that is doing it. But that's all there is, a conventional I, a label, a name, depending on the body sitting, depending on the mind thinking, feeling, having emotion. And we make too much of it. Now body and mind are constantly changing. This I seems to be the same. Seems to be independent, seems to be the possessor of the body and the mind, a third entity. But this I is completely dependent on thought. As we started the meditation, you didn't think of I think, or I'm angry, or I'm attached. It's nowhere. It only comes into existence when you think of it. This so-called real I. And definitely the conventional I, because it's just a name, just a label. Confusing, I do admit, but it doesn't matter. It's through the confusion when you start to have doubts that this I exists the way that it appears that we start to investigate, we start to get interested, we start to analyze. And first we know it intellectually. Then already it loses some of its solidness and some of its power over us. We become more spacious, more happy, more relaxed. We're not the center of the world anymore. As we get more relaxed, then we feel more and more absence of this real I. Until we, through very sustained meditation, very pointed, precise meditation, looking for it, then we will discover directly that what we thought existed is not there. There's nothing we can point to say, this is I. All we find is not I. But then we come to the conclusion that it does not exist the way that it appears. So we can dedicate all the positive energy that we have. Generated today, us and all other beings also who generate, try to generate, work on generating a good heart to transform their mind into being more beneficial for all sentient beings, dedicated to that one goal, that we are able to directly experience the nature of our mind as spacious, peaceful, pure, well and happy, and so that all other beings of that same potential can experience it as well. May through that nobody suffer anymore. Because you see, all the suffering is for nothing, because it's based on an illusion. We are actually dreaming a nightmare, and all we need to do is wake up from this illusion of inherent existence. That will take time, it will need structure, and it will need practice. But it's possible.
you very much.
So I don't know if you noticed, did your attitude change towards that woman who was talking? Or? Yeah, this is how easy it is actually. You know, we let her be, and we use it as a tool to strengthen the mind in patience. And instead of saying shut up, we say, well, thank you very much, now I can practice. That's it. It's as simple as that. Okay, well anyway, thank you very much. And thank you for the lady, because he was perfect. He was really the right timing.